This is Barry Jackson of 90.1 FM, KKFI, host of the Tuesday Midday Medley. And my guest today is one of the people who's probably responsible for a lot of the talent that you hear locally here in Kansas City, 18th and Vine Jazz District, many churches around the city, and has inspired a lot of people just to, if nothing else, just to go further in music. He's one of our local treasures here in Kansas City. And I want to introduce you to Tuesday Midday Medley, Mr. Charles Dorch. How are you today, Mr. Dorch?
I'm fine, Barry.
Tell me, why did you choose to become a band director?
Basically, because of my band director, Mr. Artis Brewster. He was a trumpet player, got me started on... Well, back in the day, they started trumpet players and brass players out on bugles. And Mr. Brewster got me started. Man, that bugle had a bad taste and smell. But I enjoyed the experience of being able to learn and make music.
What brought you to Kansas City?
Interestingly, Barry, I wasn't coming to Kansas City. I was coming through Kansas City. I had applied for a directorship in the Detroit Public Schools, and they sent me a contract. And I thought that I would just stop off in Kansas City for a week or two because some of my old college friends I probably never see again. And as things had it, my wife got a job at Paseo, and she didn't have a job in Detroit. Okay. So I decided that, hey, you know, this may be a great time for me to look at some other things. So I went to work for the railroad. It was during the summer. But as August 15th approached, because that's when the football teams and the bands could practice legally, I got the itch. And I decided that I'm going down to 1211 McGee and see if they got anything for me.
Okay, what were your junior high, senior high, and college band experiences like, and how did that impact how you taught your students?
It was a lot like yours. It was a lot like most band students. There was a lot of excitement. I'm from Arkansas, and... you know, summer band was exciting. And we had summer band every summer. It gave me something to do. My friends were available to me on a daily basis. And we had a challenge. We had method books to complete. We had skills to learn. And then we had performances. And the life of a band is you don't just practice. You look forward to the performances. And, you know, as I got into high school, that was travel because we followed our football team wherever they were playing. And so we were on buses. We were preparing halftime shows. And... and it was exciting, and you know, that's kind of that was the life of a band, and during those times, you know, we had huge bands, you know, because basically the activities were not the selection was not as great as it became, and you know, that led to college. We had to audition, drove to Pine Bluff, Arkansas, AM&N College, about three or four of my friends. We took the audition, we got the scholarship, and from there, band was my life.
What would you say were some of your most memorable experiences as a band director at Southeast?
At Southeast, we did a lot of good things. We did a lot of exciting things. You know about some of them because you were in the Southeast Jazz Lab band. Basically, the things that stick out in my mind, we did the halftime show, bicentennial halftime show for the Chiefs when they played Seattle Seahawks. And Darrell Conway did a vocal version with the band accompaniment of the Battle Hymn of Republic, brought the house down. Wow. We took a cruise. We sailed on the Emerald Seas. We were going to Nassau, Bahamas, to participate in the Goombe Festival. And on the ship, we would play sets after the house band would break down. After the first night, and there were four jazz lab bands from Missouri. We would read their charts, they would read our charts. The second night, the professional musicians hung around, and man, it was a jam session. Jam session right into breakfast. That was the Goombe Festival. We were fortunate to be able to open up on NBC down at the Charlie Parker Center, thanks to Eddie Baker for the Republican National Convention. We didn't get much airtime, but just seeing those kids on NBC for a matter of seconds, it was exciting. There were a lot of things like that. We always participated in the festivals, district and state level festivals. I had some students who auditioned and earned chairs in the district, the all-district band and the all-state band. And just the regular duty, man. We played, I don't know, half dozen times, performed at the Kansas City Kings, Kansas City Omaha Kings. You know, we did performances down there when they invited us, and that was during the Tiny Archibald days.
Yep,
and you know, things like that are memories that I'll have all my life.
What were your goals for the band, and what do you feel were the biggest accomplishments?
Coming from the South, we put a high priority on fundamentals. Coming from the South, you know, we felt defeated because, you know, I taught and I attended separate but equal schools, and that was not the case. You know, I can remember our instruments were hand-me-downs from the high school, and the high school got new instruments. You know, we had those kinds of problems. And so our teachers really pushed us hard because they were saying, you're not going to fail on my watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, fundamentals, sight reading, technique, you know, that was what was most important in my band room.
Okay. I know there were a lot of instant, you know, you'd bring all types of music to people and what have you. What would you, as far as the bands go, what would you say were some of your favorite songs that you introduced to the band?
Well, let's see. When I came to Southeast, the students' biggest complaint was they couldn't play that kind of music. And, you know, it was all straight lace. And they call it white music. And, you know, the thing is, that gave me an opportunity to do some negotiations. One for you, one for me. Now, I loved military marches. So we had books of Sousa's marches. You know, that was powerful brass band sound. And they wanted to play, you know, during the time, you know, Watermelon Man. So one Watermelon Man for you, one military march for me.
Yeah.
And when we started out, Barry, the thing is, I saw the growth in my students because we were playing grade level 1 and 2 music. I would say in two or three years, we were playing grade level 5. You know, I can remember that we played from the Duke Ellington's book in library. I can remember that we played some contemporary stuff. Macbeth. We played Mask. We played Dramatico. And we didn't just play them in concert. We played them in competition. Let me say one more thing.
Okay.
One of our bread and butter tunes, we played at the state jazz contest. Ben's thing, Ben Kennard,
right.
And we followed up with the arrangement of No Name Bar that you arranged. And brought the house down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, now it's running. Great. Yeah, at one time you were the director for the St. James United Methodist Church Choir. Are you doing anything musically now?
No, I'm not doing anything musically now. I enjoy listening to good choirs and good bands live at church on Sunday mornings. Some of the old choir members came to me because we used to do a series of we did excerpts from The Messiah. We did God's Trombones. We did Down from His Glory for Christmas. And we did The Seven Last Words of Christ for Easter. And basically, they wanted to do Seven Last Words again. So I went to Leiband's and picked up a score, and picked up a score to try to do it for the upcoming Easter season. However, right now, you know, I have some medical problems, and I don't know that if I will be able to follow through on that. But I would like to if everything works out.
I don't know if we touched on this. You may have touched on this earlier, but from the time you started working at Southeast until you left, how did the band change?
Oh, man, immensely. When I first came to Southeast, I had numbers because at that particular time, students were not penalized for being, you know, students got to earn credits for graduation. And when I came, the football team filled my symphonic bands. And and the regular students, the day-to-day students who were not participating in activities, they were my standby. And the girls. And then all of a sudden, Title IX came, and I was competing with everybody. So my bands dropped from, numbers of 120, 130 to 60. So that was a tremendous, that had a tremendous impact on my numbers. The other thing was, you know, the state trying to make sure that students were prepared in all areas, you know, science, math, in all areas, up the credit count for graduation. And at that point, I lost students. I think probably my last band at Southeast was a good 45.
Wow. Several of your former male students have expressed how you mentored them and gave them advice. Was that intentional on your part?
That's teaching. You know, I was an educator, and they called me the band director. But when you go in a classroom with kids, you know, you got to have the courage to tell them what is accepted, what is expected, and you have to call them when they're making bad decisions. And, I counseled with my students because I loved them. And, you know, sometimes if I didn't tell them what they wanted to hear, you know, they didn't like it, you know, but they respected me, and I respected them.
Okay. Why did you decide to leave the band room and go into administration?
Money. Basically, as a matter of fact, they used to. I forgot what they call it, but they used to a stipend. They used to pay a stipend to activity people, and so you can make a little extra money. But the job got harder. The numbers were not there, and I could make more money, and I could make more money. And I could make more changes from the front office than I could from my band room.
And where did you go on what was your first administrative job?
My first administrative job, I was an assistant principal at Jefferson City High School in Jefferson City, Missouri. And then I was assistant there for 6 years. And then I was principal at Simonson Ninth Grade Center for for 3 years, and I wanted to get back to Kansas City, and I took a job in the Raytown School District, and I was an assistant principal at Raytown South Middle School for 9 years, and I ended my career back in Kansas City at Paseo Middle School of the Arts.
Well, Mr. Deutsch, I want to thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and listen, you know, talking a little bit about the impact you've had here, how it impacted you, and the only thing I can say is keep on keeping on.
I appreciate the opportunity, Barry.